back in the hospital.
He went back and they did big studies, now he's out and back to work.
Oh, he's back out now? Dale and Tina Adams, any update on that?
Goes back out, I think Ms. Linda said this week, today. They traveled to Texas for evaluations.
David Osborne, he's had his surgery, and he's out, and he's doing well, as long as he don't overdo it. So, let's continue to pray for David. And congratulations to Emma Koff for her selection at Magnolia Pike's homecoming court. And we're proud of her, and also A.J. Myers, homecoming court as a junior representative for MHA. And we're proud of A.J. as well. And a reminder for the new directory that we're trying to get together, the forms are still in the back there. If you hadn't filled one out, please do so. We're trying to get them in by next Sunday so we can get started on the new directory. So I keep forgetting mine, so I filled one out this morning here. So they're here. It doesn't take but a second to fill them out and be done with it. So we hadn't had a new directory in a while, so let's try to get that done and get it updated. There is a gospel meeting in Independence September 20th through the 23rd. It'll be Monday through Wednesday from 7, well, Sunday through Wednesday, but Monday through Wednesday will be 7:30 p.m. with Tom Waycaster. He's the guest speaker. And I guess in the month of October, Nesbitt Church of Christ will have a meeting. So I hadn't set a date yet.
They have first Sunday. They'll be doing that, but I'll put that in bulletin next week.
Okay. That's all the announcements I have. Anybody have anything else? If not, begin our service in song.
It's good to see you this morning. Let's open our song books to number 192. 192. Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and
blessed assurance, Jesus is. Spirit of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am thy Savior,
that you will go with us and be with us and bless us and keep us safe. And that when this world is life here, and this world is over with, we ask that you will give us a home with you in heaven if it be there with us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You
see.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 588. 588.
Tom, for the benefit of everybody visiting today, mention how we do the Lord's Supper.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that now. For those who are not familiar with how we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, one person will pass around. We've got the bread and cup. You'll take a cup and, of course, the fruit of the vine in the cup as well. And once done, it'll be placed in a little cup holder on the back of the pew in front of you.
Yes. So
that way we keep it as safe as possible for everyone.
Tis said the feast divine, the bread, the fruit of the vine.
Our reading this morning, once again, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Take this bread, represents our body, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, to the church, bless thy name, my Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have 29 present this morning. Today is September 13th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 696. 696 will be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 316. 316.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Some things unveiled in the pages of the Scripture that are necessary to be done before anything else can proceed. One such thing is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What can we do to please God? That is, if we do it without faith. Without faith, it is impossible. What part of impossible, as the songwriter said, do we not understand? We cannot please God without that kind of faith. Our Lord Jesus taught it in this very way in Matthew in chapter 17 and verse 20. When he said regarding our faith, if we have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, it fall into the earth. There's a great bush that comes from it. There's a great deal of productivity that comes from it. There's a great reward that takes place. Faith, the grain of a mustard seed. We all are familiar with the mustard seed, and we're familiar with the idea of the smallness of it and the fact that it's insignificant in its size regarding the butter bean or the black eyed pea, but it's really there nevertheless, a strength that is there within it, that God has placed within it, that he wants everybody to appreciate deeply. So we must have faith as a grain of mustard seed. If we find ourselves doing that, we find ourselves blessed of the Lord in every good and godly way. This does not conflict with what Paul later on will say is necessary to continue anything that God has said to be done. When he said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, if a man have faith so that he could remove mountains and have not charity, agape love, godlike love, and have not charity, it profiteth him nothing.
though I give my body to be burned, he said, and bestow all my goods to feed the poor, yet if I have not this agape love, this godlike love, it profits me nothing. This is necessary to go on in life and be blessed of God. We find ourselves, wouldn't it be sad to think, that we'd have the faith to remove a mountain, and that day in time and that hour, and yet we would find ourselves rejected of God at the judgment bar. Notice what is said about this matter in Paul's writing of 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 10 and 11. He was telling them that there's a judgment day coming. And that judgment day is based upon how we have behaved while we lived our lives here upon this earth. Now here's what Paul then later would write to the brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13 and 2. If I had the faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, it profits me nothing. We need to remind ourselves of what God says regarding this and have the kind of faith in Him that we can benefit and have the kind of love mixed with it that we can benefit. Think about it just a minute in regard to having not that kind of love. If we would not have that kind of love, what would it do for us if we did a lot of things, such as bestow all our goods to feed the poor, and have not love, it profits of nothing. If we were to give to those who were in need and circumstances in this life, and yet not have it with love mixed with it, how would they appreciate that? Well, they would see the rest of our lives being that life that is lived without kind of comfort and kind of guidance, the kind of good things that we would regret helping them, and we would show our signs of regret to them. Instead of doing the benevolence with love, we'd find ourselves rejecting them, and they would be rejecting us. For they did not see it given to them with a heart of love, with a life of love. Think about the things that we do as far as the membership of the body of Christ, and being members of the church of our Lord. And being in the church, we find ourselves involved with various things in life, such as benevolent deeds. But we also have compassion upon the needs of others. Compassion upon the heart, and compassion upon the needy. And sending missionaries to other parts of the world. This congregation has been noted throughout the years to not only send, but also have an interest in what is going on from that man who is going over to foreign places and teaching the gospel of Christ to those people there. Those people know that we love them. We've got some folks down in Belize who will listen to this particular lesson today by virtue of their internet site down in the capital city. They started their travel yesterday about noon, going down that mountainside to finally arrive. Now during the night, they spent their night in the jungles. They have those who would stand guard for them and protect them from wild animals and from other thieves that think they have a great deal because they're making the trip down there to worship. But they'll make their trip down there and they'll get on an internet site, the Wi-Fi system that brings them, and they'll come right to the Crockett Church of Christ. They hear us sing songs. Very much for their way drive down there. Out from them, they would get up and he'll say things in regard to what they did and what they said in this song about the blood of Jesus and the cleansing power of that blood and the ways of it. That'd be a good thing to be done. But what if they were to know that we didn't care? Why, what would that do? Nothing of good. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 through 10 for a minute. Remember that Paul writes in Romans 15 at verse 4, whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so we look back to the Old Testament for some examples. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 there, and they're referenced to chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 and 11, we read where the Hebrew writer wrote about those people there and the circumstances of the Old Testament time. And how that they were called of God, going through that wilderness, they not all of them entered into His rest. He said they didn't all enter into His rest because they did not believe as they should. Now probably if you've walked up to any one of them and began to argue with them about the existence of God, they would argue you down. They'd say, oh sure, God exists. Yes, He exists. But so far as their day-to-day practice and their day-to-day habits, God was not in their decision-making. God was not in their activities of the day at all. They were thinking about God if He was talking about existing. But since He exists already, the idea was we'll forget about Him. And we'll forget about Him and we'll choose to do the things that we do based upon how we like those things. That was said not to be the way that they should have done it. And they did not enter into His rest because of that. And the warning is given to the people of our day in this New Testament time that we do not need to be that kind of people. We need to apply those things to our hearts and lives and be the kind of people of faith and love that we should be. That kind of love that we have is mixed up by Jesus in His statements of Matthew 18. Twice in this chapter, He will note, if you do not forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Saying at the close of that particular chapter in Matthew 18 the following, if you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. What if I got there to the judgment day and I had held a grudge against someone? I held it all the way through my life and up to my time of death. And now I'm meeting up with the Lord over there on the judgment scene. And what is the circumstance there? If you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you. Have they done wrong to you? Yes, they've done wrong to you. But that is not a reason to have a hesitation of hatred held in your heart for them throughout the rest of your life. If we hold that people against them, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty strong, isn't it? That's what we need to be doing as we live life. Enjoy the relationship that we have with people. Realize that there are those who do not know what they do, as Jesus noted upon the cross regarding those people. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. His willingness to forgive them and to be a forgiving person to them was evident by the practice of the Lord in His life and in His death. When we talk about the lack of faith in our hearts, what can we do to please God? There is nothing that we can do. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without that kind of love, what can we do? Though we could remove mountains, what would it profit us? Nothing. We need to be people who have that love within our hearts for the things that we do. Love in the work that we go on, love with the benevolent work that is done, love in the ways that we live and the missionaries that we send and the compassion we have for people in need. That kind of love is a kind of love to be held within our hearts. And He illustrates it by this very principle of forgiveness of those who trespass against you. If we find ourselves holding a grudge to death, we do not have any assurance that the Lord will overlook that, never mention that, never believe that that would have an effect on our soul's salvation. except for Jesus saying, if you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. When Jesus told the people about his work and his labor in John 12 at verses 48 and 49, he said the following, he that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For the words I speak unto you, he said in verse 49, the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father's commandments that I have been given to give unto you. What did Jesus say? The word that I'm speaking is going to judge you in the last day. But it's not actually my word only. It's the word of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus told the disciples, you must believe that I am He, or you will die in your sins, in John 8 at verse 24, did He tell them what the Father actually wanted them to do? He said He did. In John 12 at 49. When Jesus told them to repent of their sins or they would perish, just like those people who perished at that tower falling upon them, and in their superstitious ways they thought there was these were more wicked than anybody else, he said, I tell you nay, except you repent. Repent of your sins, ye shall all likewise perish. In Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Well, now, what did he say to them? Was the word of the Father. This is the word of the Father, repent. When Jesus came to his disciples and he taught them in regard to this matter, he taught them not only to believe and repent, but he taught them also to be baptized. I wouldn't be teaching baptism for any merit or any blessing, any benefit for anybody, unless Jesus himself had taught it. And when Jesus said there in Mark 16, 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When he mixed that word and, that coordinated conjunction, things of equal rank and things of equal importance, that's what your English teacher taught you throughout the life that you were in the second and third and fourth grades of life. It was the word that he's taught to you that said to you, hey, this is of equal value. They used examples like Tom and Bill were on the ball team that won the game. It wasn't just Tom that won the game. It wasn't just Bill that won the game. Tom and Bill were on the team that won the game. That teacher would show to illustrate to us, and they would give us tests on that basis, and they would try to set it out to us to be sure that we understood that that coordinating conjunction joins things of equal rank and equal importance. Thus, when Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. Notice later on in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, what is it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So naturally, it would be the case that in Mark 16, at 15 and 16, when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. He was saying, without faith, what else can you do? What else could I do? What else can anyone do that pleases God? That's why the importance of that is emphasized by us. And as far as we are concerned, we teach that because not we wanted to teach it or see any merit in it, but because the Lord saw merit in it and the Lord said to do this. Our Lord Jesus also said in Matthew 6 at verse 33 the following, the word of the Father, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now these things in Matthew 6 that he just talked about were things of the earth, the things of food, clothes, and shelter. He says you'll be provided these things if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Seeking first the kingdom is so important for our lives. Being first in the kingdom means to be a part of a service of the church. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some has become, but teaching one another, warning one another every day as you see the day approaching. Notice that there is a day in which we'll find ourselves wanting to be seen as people who put first the kingdom of God, put first our assemblies, put first that way. And as a result of that, our lives will be better blessed as a result of putting first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Lord taught those particular things because those things, he said in John 12, 49, the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave me these commandments that I now speak unto you. The Father taught him what he was due and what he should teach to others. Teaching is an act of service to serve others who have empty hearts and a lack of love and lack of teaching the Word of God to others in their lives. Paul revealed was a necessary thing of love to do that. And to be people who serve the Lord in that righteous way, we too need to be that way today. And remember that if our faith starts out just as a grain of mustard seed, the blessing that yet nevertheless will come. Thank you for listening in your study with us today. And for those of you who listen by the way of the internet system, we're prayerful for you to be a part of this congregation or any other congregation that will recognize these teachings of the Lord and His Father as the way to go and the way to live in life from day to day. We're not teaching this as our own will, but as the will of the Heavenly Father. Thank you for your time with us today and for your listening studies with us. And we trust that in your opportunity that you have today, if you're convicted in this matter and want to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ, would you not come today in faith and baptism into Christ as the people on the day of Pentecost did in Acts 2 and 47. The Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. And be saved from sin and be added by the Lord to His church today. As we stand together and sing this song of encouragement, would you not make your way to the front at the time?
There's a fountain free
just for you.
Is the fountain of love from the source of love, and it gives us all freely.
Invite you all to return tonight at 6 o'clock if you can. and we're glad to have you with us at that time. We're glad to see Chris once again and to renew an acquaintance that I just didn't have in my mind and everything. He knew Bobby and Brooks, and they were part of Sergeant Lake Christian Camp with us back a long time ago. And good to have you with us today. And for you to be visiting with us, Bob and Bar, good to have you all with us. And thank you for being here today. God bless you, everyone, and look forward to seeing you at 6 tonight, if at all possible.